Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert. Don't get stuck in one of those risky, adjustable home equity lines of credit. With mortgage rates this low, a new 30 or 15-year fixed-rate mortgage is the way to go. Lower your rate and get the cash you need at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Ah, the shrubs. They are dense.
And Walter Hagen coming up the 18th fairway.
Father Hagen at St. Louis U High knew everyone's name.
And Bobby Jones laid out the course as only Bobby could. He constructed the Butler cabin with his own hand. Planted the Eisenhower oak.
I thought he got a subcontractor.
No, they didn't have it back then. And there's Sam Snead. Isn't he what?
Gone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was as though they were showing a historic film. I was narrating that.
About to say. It might be awkward.
What's the bridge name?
The Hague. What?
What's the one bridge?
Oh, the bridge. There's the bridge. There's the stone bridge. And boy, it's seen many a golf ball go to a watery grave.
Nice. I'll tell you what.
I forgot the name of the bridge.
Gary Player.
Might want to redo the voiceover work then.
And the Golden Bear just striping it. Just striping it.
Here's Nicholas on the opening tee.
It's the Hogan Bridge.
Oh,
the
okay, thank you, Plowboy. Have you played Augusta?
No, actually, Google helped me out on that one.
Nice.
The bear hit it long, and he hit it straight.
Yes.
Yes, straight.
Gary Player, Arnold Palmer, and Jack Nicklaus on the first tee at Augusta as we are underway for the Masters. And you know who our leader is? Why, of course, it's Jim Herman. Fresh off his win in Houston, he's 2-under through three. Keep an eye.
I look for Trevor Immelman to give him a run for his money.
Did he win in 2008?
Oh, something like that. I don't know.
You know who knows? Jay Williamson. Is he? He joins us right now on the Appliances Counter phone lines. Good morning, JW.
Hey, how are you guys?
Very good. Thank you so much. I assume you've been down to Augusta and played it?
Unfortunately, I have not played. I've been to a practice round. It's been so long ago, I don't really remember much of it. And I don't really remember last week, so that's probably one of
it. It happens with age.
Well, you're on the right show then. I see the top three favorites, Day, who's been playing very well, Jordan Spieth, and then Rory McIlroy. Adam Scott had a great February, kind of cooled off a little bit after that, but Day has been playing outstanding. Spieth has not been that great, and the putts that he was able to sink all over the place last year have not been falling. If you had to pick one guy going into the opening round of the Masters to say, that's my guy, who would it be?
I've been listening to you guys this morning, and I was going to tell you that I'm not a historian, nor am I a predictor. But since you've put me on the spot,
yes,
I got to give you sort of an answer. I mean, it would be really hard not to go with Jason Day right now just because of the been playing and his confidence, and he seems to be healthy. He's been putting great. So, you know, I got to go with Jason Day. Although, Adam Scott, I mean, I don't know. It's so hard to predict. I'll go with Jason Day since you put me on the spot.
There it is. On the spot we go.
Now, a fellow like me, if he's played frequently, might play to about an 18, 20 handicap. What would I shoot on that course the way it's made up for these tournaments?
If you're an 18, that means you basically get a shot a hole.
Yeah.
And I would say this week, especially because of the weather that's moving through, the scores are really going to be high. This could be, if the weather is what they're predicting, and if the staff sets the course up as difficult as they can, this could be the highest winning score ever just because of the forecast. But I would say if you're going to tee it up this morning, I'm going to say you're going to shoot, if you're counting every shot and holing every putt, you're going to shoot 30 over par.
Buck 02, Doug.
Boy, I would take that. There's no way I'd get out of there with a 102. I would take that. Yeah, you're being nice, I think.
Well, maybe. I haven't seen your action, but like if you send me a little video, I could maybe.
Well, you'd be disappointed. I think it's the greens, those greens that would kill the average weekend golfer, don't you? As fast as they are?
Yeah, if you're holing every putt, you know, because you might have a three-footer that your friends might tell you it's good. You might, you know, three or four or five putt from 3 feet in Augusta.
Yeah. They don't use a foot wedge much during the tournament either, do they?
No, they're probably won't be many of those this week, I don't think.
Yeah. Jay, does Augusta favor left-handed golfers? It seems like in recent years, just off the top of my head, we've seen a lot of lefties win it.
You know, what's interesting about that, I've always thought that Augusta, and again, who am I to say, because I've never played there, but I always thought that Augusta favored a right-to-left player. But you're right, because, you know, you've got Bubba Watson, but you have to remember Bubba Watson hits a cut. So he's going to be moving the ball from right to left. I always thought Augusta favored the guy that could hit it right to left. But again, I haven't played there, so I don't really know. I just think Augusta favors a guy that's really confident with his putter and is very confident with his short game. You know, the game's changed so much just the last couple of years. They tried to, quote-unquote, tiger-proof the golf course, yeah. But they actually made it more for the guy that hits it long and, you know, high and long. So, you know, you really have to move it out there, and that's why Bubba's won it. That's why Jason Day, you know, people talk about him. And that's why I think Jordan Spieth is not at the top of the list because, A, he hasn't been playing great. He's not in great form. He's not in bad form, but he's not in great form. And then, B, he's not really considered a long hitter.
Jay Williams is our guest on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. I was watching a piece last night on the Golf Network,
Tim, I have to correct you, and I apologize for this because this is very rude for a guest to do that.
Wow.
But you must call it the Golf Channel.
Oh, Doug.
It's
like when people call it the President's Cup. The Blues won the President's Cup. No, they didn't. They won the President's Trophy.
Similar idea.
But I was watching the Golf
Channel.
Yes.
About time somebody dressed you down.
I was watching the Golf Channel last night, and they were talking about this era of golf, 2016 versus 15 years ago when Tiger Woods won in Augusta and held all four major championships at the same time, the Tiger Slam, and how with Jordan Spieth, how with Jason Day, how with Ricky Fowler, and how with Rory McIlroy, golf is in good hands because you have diversified your portfolio, so to speak, with star power, all in their 20s, all really. I didn't realize how young all of them were, despite the fact that, really, with the exception of Spieth, they've all been on the scene for a while. And it's a better spot to be in than with Tiger Woods. I don't know. I guess it just depends on, do you prefer the New York Yankees? Or do you prefer, you know, four teams who are always there, like the Cardinals and the Giants and the Royals recently, all being in the mix? What is your thought is on the state of the game for a guy who played professionally?
Well, it's an interesting topic for sure. And I would tell you there was an article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday about the same thing. You know, when Tiger was playing and, like, he was a phenomenal. We'll never see what Tiger did again. He's not going to break Nicklaus's records, but he, for a period of time, we're never going to see what he was able to do. And when he was at his peak, no one really cared about anyone else. Even the TV, when the TV was on, they were trying to show Tiger as much as they can. Now, when you go to an event or when you're watching, you're not really looking to just see one guy. I actually think that it's better for golf in aggregate than it is just, you know, tuning in to see one guy. And I would add that when Tiger, you know, before he kind of went off the rails, he was very engaging. He didn't have a lot of things going on, or at least we thought, that would preclude us maybe rooting against him. So, you know, all of these young guys that you mentioned, they're all young enough where I think that they're all pretty pure, I guess you could say, and you know, they don't have a lot of issues with the public at this point. Not saying that that won't happen, but I would say that they're all young enough where, you know, they're all kind of fun to watch, and they keep us young, and they're great players. I mean, it's pretty incredible how good some of these young guys are.
Yeah, I agree. And it also seems like some of these young guys, when you talk about Spieth and Rory and Day, they seem to be buddies. And when you had Tiger, we always talked about Tiger and Phil and their relationship, and they didn't have a bunch of times where they're going, you know, against each other in the majors, but that was kind of always a storyline where it seems like all these young guys in their 20s, Ricky Fowler, they seem to kind of all root for each other.
Well, you know, and you can look at it that two ways. You know, controversy is always a good thing, sells tickets, and being a hockey fan like I am, I like to see a little animosity out there. You know, Jack and Arnie always had a good relationship, but I think that there was some, you know, they also butted heads every once in a while, and I think the competitive spirit of these guys will eventually get them, you know, where there might be some animosity, but who knows? I mean, you can't be everything can't be nice and great, and the, you know, the flowers blooming and the warm weather. I mean, you know, I was listening to you guys this morning. I mean, you were kind of putting me to sleep with all the nice platitudes about Augusta, you know. It's like, but we need some animosity every once in a while to kind of shake things up a little bit. And you don't really see that with the young players today yet. I'm not saying that it won't happen, but not yet.
Yeah, there's almost no fighting in golf, and that would be an interesting element to add to it.
they you know, the tour pretty much frowns on that. They don't, you know, they kind of like the image being clean and pure, and, you know. But, I mean, every once in a while it's nice to get a little edgy in there.
Jay, do you play any of the DraftKings, the Daily Fantasy golf?
You know what? I don't really have enough time. I mean, I probably would if I sat down and looked at it, because I think it's interesting. But, again, I'm not really a – especially in golf, you know, I'm not really a predictor. I don't – there's so many guys that can win today that it would be really hard for me to sit down and you know, really focus on – six or seven or eight guys that you have to pick to play well. Yeah. That would be very difficult for me.
You're just like guessing on the, because you can only pick, you know, a couple of the eight guys that you go, okay, those are the eight most likely to win, whether it be Day, Spieth.
Yeah, I mean, like Jim Herman.
Right.
I haven't heard of Jim Herman, to be honest with you, and I follow golf pretty closely. I'd never heard of him. I thought he was a Monday qualifier last week, and the guy goes out and wins and makes par in the last hole, which is one of the hardest holes in you know, hardest finishing holes, and now he wakes up this morning and he birdies the first couple holes. I mean, it's just, who would have ever seen that happen? That's a great story for golf, because this guy's grinded his, you know what, off for
yeah.
a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen that a couple times so far this year, and Herman is at one under par now through four. He started off, as Jay mentioned, birdie in the first two holes. Doug said, you know, we were jokingly saying, because we don't know anything, of course, but that when the weekend rolls around, if Herman is in the mix, or a guy like Herman who you didn't expect, you didn't know, that pressure does get to you. You've been out there, albeit, as you acknowledge, not playing at Augusta, but how real is that? And is it as simple as some guys welcome it and thrive on it, and other guys, they'll fold like a cheap tent?
What I would tell you is, you threw a lot at me there, but what I would tell you is that I would predict, and I've said I'm not a predictor, but I would bet my house that Jim Herman will not finish in the top 20 this week. Mm-hmm. I just think being the, you know, first time there, everything that's going on, I mean, at some point, probably this morning, he's going to wake up, make a big number, or as they say in baseball, make a crooked number, and then all of a sudden, you know, reality hits him and, you know, he starts to panic a little bit. But hey, you know what? America, U.S., we need who's the next great player? We've got a lot of these foreign guys, Jason Day, Rory, Adam Scott. I mean, you know, we got all these foreign players. Why not Jim Herman can be the next great U.S. player,
that
right?
Would be pretty cool. 38 years old. It does seem like, for whatever reason, and I could be wrong on this, you might be able to poke holes in this immediately. This isn't well-researched, as you are on this show. But it seems like when it comes to the Masters, rarely do you have what it seems like, I feel like you see the most at the PGA Championship, which is somebody the casual fan hasn't really heard of winning. At the Masters, it usually is, pardon the pun, the Masters of the game win at Augusta more so than like the PGA Championship. Is that an accurate characterization?
Yeah, and there's a reason for it. Number one, the Masters has the smallest field in major championship golf, so that's number one. And number two, you're not going to have a lot. You're not going to have club pros in the event, which are all, you know, you got at least, I think you have 20 of them in the event at the PGA Championship. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, the field for a PGA Championship is at least 144, might even be 156, whereas I think the field this week in Augusta, I mean, I don't know exactly what the number is, but I think I think it's 95 for some reason. Okay. That number's in my head. So you have 30 or 40 less guys in the field, so you heard pretty much of everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone had to do something, had to win a sanctioned event to get in this tournament, or you have to be, you know, top, I don't know what the number is, top 50 on the money or on the world ranking to actually get into this event. So it's a very, very exclusive invitation to receive to get in the event.
You said you didn't think Tiger would break any of Jack Nicklaus's record, or at least his major tournament wins. He must really be hurting not to come back and play in a tournament like this. You think he's about done? You think we've about seen the end of Tiger?
You know what? Again, I'm not a predictor, but since you've put me on the spot, I will say that I think Tiger's problem right now is I think he's healthy enough to play, but whether he can go out and shoot a number, meaning whether he can go out and actually compete, I think he questions that. And that is a really hard thing to measure, you know, because, you know, when you're competing, it's different than playing golf. When you're competing at golf, when you have to count every shot, when you have to, you know, when you have to hit shots that you under pressure, it's really hard to prepare for that. And Tiger can hit drivers in his backyard into you know, the Jupiter Inlet all he wants, but once you get into the show, once people are watching you and you don't want to embarrass yourself, that is a completely different formula.
Yeah, I expect it's really hard for a superstar to go and just be one of the guys again. You see that in all sports. Once you stop being a superstar, they usually hang him up.
Well, and you know, he's had these surgeries. He's changed his swing 50 times in the last 10 years. Obviously, he's had well-documented personal issues. You add all that up, and it's just, and then you have to add up the fact that does he really need to play? Financially, no. And he's always said, "Why play for the trophies?" Well, if you know you can't win a trophy, or if you doubt that you can win a trophy, then it's really hard to get yourself in a position to get back there again. Especially, you know, it'd be like a baseball player not playing at all and then teeing up in the World Series. You know, all of a sudden, you know, you have a heightened sense of what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's just you have to kind of play your way into major championship golf. You don't just show up and say, "All right, here I am. I know I'm Tiger Woods, but I." You know, even if you are Tiger Woods at your best, you're not ready for that atmosphere.
Jay, final question for you. I know you love the Blues and you are passionate about hockey. I am bullish on the Blues. I don't know if maybe I'm just conning myself into thinking this. It seems like every other day there's injury news. Last night, the Steve Ott news on his health, not really even injury. But where are you on the Blues as we approach a huge game tonight in the regular season as they battle for the Central and make sure that they have home ice against the Blackhawks if they get the 2 seed, but overall as we go into this postseason?
Well, I think I'm like everybody else. I'm ready for the playoffs to get here. Unfortunately, it's the time of year for me now where I feel like I have so much invested emotionally that this is a really hard time for me because, unfortunately, I know how critically important it is from an organizational standpoint on how well they do mm-hmm. in the playoffs because, you know, the franchise was left basically, you know, on the side of the street by previous ownership. Mm-hmm. And thank God for this current ownership to step up and actually really try to make this thing work. But it's just critically important for them, you know, and for their psyche and for the fan psyche to at least get through the first round of the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, so anyway, I am bullish, but you know what? Even with home ice advantage, it's difficult. I mean, it's a very competitive league, and they've done all the things that they need to do to compete, you know, and you hope that injuries don't deter them like they have in the past, and hopefully the goaltending stays good and they can advance a few rounds. It'd be great for the franchise. And to be honest with you, the way the Cardinals are starting and the Rams leaving, I mean, this is the Blues' time right now.
Yeah,
right.
I was thinking that last night.
To make things happen. And they haven't had a better time than right now to solidify their place here. I mean, this is their time, and we'll see if they can step up and get it done.
For guys around my age, so in their 30s and maybe early 40s, the correlation, the climate, I suppose, was so primed from 88 through 95, and there were some great Blues teams. Unfortunately, none of them were able to get to the conference finals, but that was the Brett Hull, Adam Oates era, Shanahan coming along, and that's when the Cardinals also, and they were struggling, and there was no NFL team. So it absolutely, it created, I think, a generation of hockey fans, and while I don't want to see the Cardinals struggle at all, the sports scene overall, if you want to include regionally going to Columbia or as far east as Champaign, Illinois, and in St. Louis U, and no NFL team, this is the opportunity to truly seize the market. So I agree with you in that capacity.
And they deserve, you know, they deserve this opportunity. They deserve it because, you know, all the things that you just mentioned. But the Blues have been kind of the constant franchise that's seems to be trying year in and year out to get to that next level, but they just haven't been able to do it. The time, in my opinion, is now. And, you know, I do believe in fate, and I believe that this is, you know, if they keep, I mean, I hate to use the golf analogy. If they can keep everything in the fairway and not let it get out of bounds, you know, I think that they can have a nice run here. It would, like I said, it'd be critically.
I think we lost JW briefly. I was wrapping up.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
I'm here. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I mean, you got the Masters going on today, Blues, Blackhawks, and the Cardinals season starting off, albeit not at the way that we would hope. It's a great time for sports, and Jay Williamson, playing on the tour, understands and loves the game, but also loves the game of hockey, and great to have him joining us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. JW, always good to hear from you, man. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, no, thank you for the time, guys, and we'll talk soon.
See ya.
Thanks, Jay.
Jay Williamson with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I really like that, JW.
Yeah.
What is this? Seamaster types notes sometimes today, but this one caught my attention. Plowboy, what's going on? You have a friend
in the diamond business?
No, actually...
you've got a friend in the diamond business. The Shane Company.
I talked about Dever. You know, the Devers, where we used to play card games in the shed.
We were just talking about the Blues and Blackhawks tonight, the Masters and the Cardinals struggles. Now you're talking about your shed.
Right. Well, the reason I bring it up is because yesterday I went over to Mace Dogs, and we called our buddy Dever because we haven't chatted in a while.
Who's Dever? I've never heard of him.
I just asked really quick. I'm sorry to interrupt, but
no, go for it.
How much pot did you smoke in this little shed and you just basically hotboxed each other?
Oh, I couldn't even tell it. Pounds.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
That sounds like that was the pot emporium.
Well, we did play cards as well. There.
So I mean, Dever's the Phil Ivey of your pot shed.
Yes. Yeah.
This actually, is way out in the country.
His
stick
older
somewhere?
Brother was the Phil Ivey, Sam Dever. He's a couple years older.
Can we book him for the 9 o'clock hour?
But anyways, Matt, I talked to him. Haven't talked to him in a while. Me and Mason put him on speakerphone. And come to find out, he produces porn in Vegas.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, we do want to get him on tonight.
In Vegas?
He sent me a link to a porn that he just ended up doing. And you can hear his voice interviewing the girls before, you know, their scenes.
The creepy behind-the-scenes interview guy.
Yes.
A lot of Missouri Journalism School people who couldn't get the gig in South Dakota had to go that route.
Let's be honest, to call someone a porn producer, all that you do is you upload a video to the internet. It's like YouTube.
Yeah, who's Dever working for, Plowboy?
That I'm not quite for sure. I know.
I mean, what if he knows Manuel?
See, I missed all these key questions because it kind of just...
Because you're really high.
Well, yeah, and he was throwing a lot of things out there at once, so it's like you didn't really know where to begin. Because he was working for ABC down there last year. So
he was working for the ABC network?
Yeah.
Doug, it's a fast fall. It's a slippery slope.
The affiliate in Las Vegas, the ABC affiliate? Or?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was.
He was with Rune Arledge.
He was a producer floor director there for about 2 years, and so I assume that's what he was doing still, because I haven't talked to him about a year, so I wanted to catch up and talk to him, and yeah, he's producing porn. Doesn't allow drugs on the set, Doug. What do you think about that?
Is it possible he just has a crazy girlfriend who wanted to be videoed?
He's... That guy with dreads, he got like dreads down to his like back.
So he's John Jaso.
It looked similar to John Jaso. Actually, Dever put on a couple pounds though, so 30 pounds heavier, 2 inches shorter than Jaso.
But he sounds like he's a white dude with dreads that's overweight.
And that produces.
Sounds like he's very.
Lost his job at the ABC affiliate in Vegas, but somehow found a girlfriend willing, probably All sketched out on something.
He basically...
going to go on video.
His job as a local news floor director was replaced by robotic cameras.
That happened 20 years ago. We haven't had floor directors since the 80s.
No, I would say we had floor camera operators in Lansing, so that's 10, you know...
We had them when I was a KMOV.
10 years ago.
They did?
Yeah. Well, that they weren't about, operators, but they were about floor the directors on the robotic cameras. So Plowboy, we don't know who he works for? Can I see any of his work? Has he worked with Keisha Gray, who's working Doug with Lexington Steel today? It's unbelievable.
And the thing is, he had a juicy story, but he wouldn't tell me the act. Were we calling them actresses or?
I call them starlets.
Okay, he was discussing one of these starlets. Tim wouldn't give out a name, but she tried to do cocaine off a guy's butt.
Yeah, well, that really is cracked.
Standard.
At the time, apparently, she was a big starlet and actually kicked her off set.
He did. He wouldn't put up. He wouldn't put up with that.
No. And also, he told me a story about this one creepy 75-year-old widow who rents his mansion out to porn industry and just sits there and watches the porn in the background.
So he'd be a widower if it was a man.
A widower. He cucks in porns. And this guy, Dever, actually never heard of cuckolding, and he's actually quite interested.
So you let him know that it's discussed frequently on this show.
Yeah, so we can get him on. He's very entertaining, very personable. Yeah, I mean, I think you'll really enjoy this. Maybe we can set something
up. We have Kyle Brodziak at 8:50, but otherwise, Doug, we're pretty clear.
Yeah. Maybe tell Brodzi we don't have time for him.
We got to get what, Devers on?
That's right.
And this guy's from Canton, this fellow.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said,
what's his name in the industry? Is it Dever?
Matt Dreads, I think.
With a Z.
He's not an actor, is he?
Guaranteed
he doesn't get on camera.
No, behind the scenes guy. Very, very intelligent. Extremely intelligent.
Sure he is.
Well, no, like 5 years ago, he goes, because he went to Carbondale, he goes, there's money in porn. And you kind of laugh at people that say that. But now look, he's living the dream, and I'm sure he's making decent money.
How do I spell his name? I really do want to find this.
It's Dever.
No, I'm talking about what would come up in a search engine.
Oh, I think his Twitter handle is Matt Dreads, I think.
Okay, but how do I spell it?
MattDreads.
Charlie, you're surprised to hear that that's with an S and not a Z. Yeah.
I am, actually.
Sounds like he runs a tight ship.
I think I found him.
If he's saying no to drugs on the buttocks.
Oh, he's doing well. He has 5 followers. Now, Roderick would be jealous of that, but this is not where you necessarily want to be if you're trying to market yourself in the industry.
Well, I don't think he's trying. I think he's just a producer and works for somebody, so I don't think he's into the social media aspect.
Now, hold on. Is it this guy right here?
Yes, that is Matt Dever.
So he has like 2,000 followers.
Plobo, you don't even follow him. How come I've got the wrong guy then?
It's Matt No More Dreads, and the handle is The Matt Dreads.
Oh, The Matt Dreads.
My apologies.
Yeah. His
He's already got fake accounts sprouting up.
His little synopsis says, they call me Dreads. Learning something new about myself every day. Hashtag director, hashtag photographer, always striving for more in life. Holla if you want to collaborate.
Very nice.
Located on planet Earth.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Doug. He has 2 followers, I know. And you know who those 2 followers are?
Oh.
The Peoria Plowboy and Keisha Gray.
Oh,
holy moly cockatoli.
Well, he is plugged in.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow, so he knows Keisha Gray.
And you know her? You've had
I got a picture of me and Marie. Yeah. It's our Christmas card this year. I'm sorry, holiday card.
No, you're not going to do that.
Maybe
nobody.
A gift.
Those who would know who she is would appreciate it. And everybody else would just be like, oh, they have a friend.
Don't you think the question might come up from a few? Who is the friend?
I think at this point, for my side, my friends and family, they just kind of write me off. Hers, yeah, she might have to answer questions.
I would think so. You still send Christmas cards? You don't strike me as the Christmas card sending
type.
That's
a tight read, sir.
Right.
It's a tight read.
You're good, Doug.
So Matt Dreads, Doug, are you going to start? I'm going to follow him now.
I'm not following Matt Dreads.
At the Matt Dreads, he has 1,600 followers.
So he's still kind of a nickel and dime porn producer.
I wouldn't judge it solely based upon a Twitter following. I think you got to watch his work, Doug.
Go home and watch his work and then watch Ray Donovan.
I heard he's an artist. Like when he says, how old are you? And they always lie and say 18.
He's a guy that I'm telling you, in a few years, he's going to be, because he's moving out to LA, I think, in a couple months.
So. Well, that always goes well.
Mm-hmm. But let's be honest. Like most
Doug, on January,
most
just real quickly, Charlie, on January 5th, he tweeted, it's raining. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's deep.
Wow.
But, like, let's be honest. I mean, most people that are famous in that business are the behind-the-scenes producers. Like, you know all their names.
Right.
I'm just saying, well, no, but he'll still make decent money, you know? Producing an award-winning porn film is pretty high praise for a producer, so.
Think he's got a casting couch?
I'm sure. He actually just, he was living with his brother, so he kind of, and now he's living on his own, I guess, so.
No.
Doug, on
he's
November,
really moving up in the world.
On November 29th. Just last year, too, so this is pretty recent. 8 years ago, I graduated from high school, and 4 years ago, college. Wow.
Well, that's generally how it works for those who, you know, go to class.
But, Doug, think about this. College educated.
4 years.
He gets out there to Sin City. He's got a great job as a floor director.
Got his own
at
place
at the local
now,
ABC affiliate.
Yeah.
Living on the couch with his brother, but probably having a hell of a time in Las Vegas.
Probably so.
And then the robotic cameras come, you get laid off, you get a severance of maybe a month and a half, and then all of a sudden, you see an ad, and next thing you know, you're a porn producer.
Yeah. So he's living the high life, is what you're saying. He's doing all right for himself.
On September 22nd, he said, if I was a woman, I would be a total slut. September 5th, I feel a heart attack coming on.
Second team All-Mid-Illini Conference as well.
Was he?
He was fighting Illini?
No, Mid-Illini Conference for Canton.
Canton High.
Yeah.
Offensive lineman?
Yeah.
How big is he?
At the time, it was a big burly, I think 250.
You didn't play any high school football, did you?
No.
Well, they needed almost all hands on deck at Canton, didn't they? Small school, that is.
Little Giants?
We were pretty terrible, so I didn't want to add to just the misery. So
you're just hoping to go back on a Friday night, smoke up a blunt and watch Jim Mattson give the highlights at WHOI.
No, the best part about Dever is he would be wanting to come by the crib like 2 hours before kickoff. We'd, you know, hang out, and he would play great.
Before the games?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's...
Wait, that might be a nice Sports Sunday feature.
You didn't play any sports at all in high school, Plowsy?
I was great in, like, Little League, and, like, my size caught up to me, Doug. I was very athletic as, like, an 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old kid. Was all on all the traveling teams.
Fair enough.
But when you don't grow, it just kind of kills you in
But you're
school.
Not that small. You're just kind of thin. Like, if you would work out,
I mean,
you could probably be relatively
You still had a buck 25, Plowboy?
I think I'm 132. I had three bananas today. But, like, I
how tall are you?
How tall? I think 5'10".
That's not short.
No.
I'd take 5'10 all day. Oh, I'd do anything to be 5'10", Doug. My God, can you imagine?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Thank you. Jim Herman's now even par. He's folding like a cheap tent.
Yes, he is.
In the front nine. Hey, look, everybody. It's Janie the Lesbian from St. Paul, Minnesota. Hello, Janie the Lesbian.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm actually in Appleton, Wisconsin today.
Appleton, Wisconsin,
about 45 minutes from Green Bay, Doug.
What's going on there?
I had some business to attend to here at a couple of
schools.
Oh,
you mean you had some tribbing to attend to.
Actually, there are some random spottings of pretty decent-looking chicks around here, but I don't know, it's Wisconsin, and I heard Wisconsin might breed some larger, I guess, corn-fed gals.
Usually the way it works up north. Yeah, it's kind of a winter culture. They've got winter coats on most of the year. There's not a beach anywhere nearby.
Well, one of my work buddies, who's from up in Minnesota, you know, said that they're just larger in general. Mm. So, like, not just like winter bodies, but just kind of bigger gals.
Scandinavian folks.
Yeah.
They're taller. Yeah.
Big, thick raw bone gals.
That's right. Raw bone Swedes. Is that what it is? Janie the Lesbian, tell us how things are going in Minnesota for you now. It's been about a month?
It's only been a couple weeks, or it'll be 3 weeks, I think, this weekend.
All right.
So it's been okay. Like, work is good, but I'm still looking for a place to live. I have I set up like a temporary stay for my first couple weeks. And then I've been here in Appleton all of this week. I'm going to stay with a friend starting tomorrow when I get back. I'm still looking for my own place to live, which is kind of annoying, but I'm working through that. So
is this friend that you're going to live with for a little while? Is she lesbian?
Duh.
What's wrong with
that? No, she's actually a lady that I met through work. She's one of our contractors, and pretty sure she's not a lesbian.
But do you think she's curious about engaging in a sapphic adventure?
Will you try to turn her?
Nice.
If she were attractive, maybe, but I really have zero desire to
yikes.
Even
I hope she's not streaming.
So, yeah.
Have you been, I don't know, are the lesbians on Tinder or Grindr?
They're on Tinder, and then I believe we've discussed a couple other lesbian Tinder or Grindr-esque apps, which are Her, H-E-R, and Scissor minus the O at the end.
Oh, do you have a problem with
sakes.
That?
Right? But no, I have not signed up for either of those.
I think I might sign up for one and like put my picture as Keisha Gray and just have lesbian fantasies all day long. Because that's what Iggy used to do on AOL chat.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I went to the 98 PGA Championship with Jennings and Dave Green. And, you know, you're on dial-up then. Vijay Singh with the win. It's a Holly Duck, as you remember. And we went online, and Jennings brought a laptop. And he goes, let's see if Iggy's online. And he went and clicked, and he said, oh, yeah, there he is. And I go, that's a 25-year-old bisexual female. And he goes, that's Iggy. That's what he goes online as.
Oh, so good.
So maybe that's what I'll do while I watch the Masties today and get you ready for the Blues.
You're that lonely for company,
absolutely.
Are you?
Absolutely. So much free time. Have you? How are things with Bat Signal Beth?
So this actually, my phone just started beeping because she was just calling me, so I'm going to have to call her back. But things are really good. She drove up last weekend to St. Paul to surprise me.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was really nice. I had been pretty frustrated with the apartment search, and she's been frustrated with some things on her end, too. So,
Doug, am I reading between the lines right there? Tee-hee?
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Was she able to get a strappy across the Minnesota border? I'm asking questions. I have a responsibility.
No.
No strappies, but definitely had a good time with her. So.
God bless.
Just looking for apartments, because that can be fun, house hunting.
It can be fun, but it can be also frustrating because you see these listings online and you look at the pictures and you try to get a good idea of what you're walking into, and then you walk in and you're like, this is nothing like I expected. And so I actually have applied for one, but I wouldn't be able to bring my beloved animal with me, so I'm trying to decide on that.
Mm. Trying to find a place downtown, somewhere close to
It's actually, I'm kind of in between downtown St. Paul and work, because there's actually a nice little stretch that have some good spots to stay right there. So that's where it's at. So it's just outside of downtown, right near the south side of downtown, by Excel Center. And go watch some hockey. And,
yeah, the Blues could be up there next week or in 2 weeks. They could be.
Yeah, that would be terrific.
Yeah,
I really
could
like
happen.
That.
It's either going to be Blues Wild or Blues Blackhawks. I'm telling you that. Doug, we can go up there and hang out with Janie Lesbian, and we can stay with this woman that she finds unattractive.
I don't know about that.
Really, that is. So you and Bat Signal Beth, she comes up. You guys get after it. Is this the understanding still, you can trib who you want to trib, she can trib who she wants to trib, or have you tightened up the restrictions? Where are we? I need to know.
No, that's still the understanding.
Yeah,
we're
I think
still
that's healthy.
Of that thinking. So, yeah.
Trib who you want to trib, Doug. That's penny
I
saved, penny earned.
I haven't had time to really even explore that. I've like all of my efforts have been trying to find a place to live, and then once I do that, then I can kind of get after it. But
I say trib and let trib.
Well done, sir.
Wow.
Nice.
Thank you.
I actually got to tune in to the home opener. And I was absolutely cracking up at the Trib Media sign on the backstop.
You were kind enough to text me about that. Thank you.
Oh, my God. That was so terrific.
Doug, this Trib
is funny. That's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah,
the Tribune company
absolutely.
That owns.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which I work for, so let's keep it clean.
Right.
Yeah. It's got to be limited to me. And
I have a 401k match, okay?
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
See, tripping's good for everyone.
Rub our noses in it, Chuck.
Yeah, exactly. Janie the Lesbian, it's great to hear from you, and I wish you the best of luck on this house search and also your search for lesbianism throughout the Minneapolis-St. Paul region.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Peace.
Thank you, Janie.
I haven't talked to her in a while. Janie the Lesbian. Still listening. Still
she seems like good people.
She's great people. Mm-hmm. We would hang out with her all the time. We'd pony up at Billy G's.
Do you miss her?
I do miss her. She's good. She really is cool broad.
Janie, you want to touch?
No. Jay had her over at his cage.
He had her at the cage. He did.
But nothing
I think he had designs on something happening. Per both, nothing happened.
He was trying to turn her.
Correct.
Yeah. Didn't work.
Per both sources.
Yeah.
Nothing sounds happened. Like though that the way you're framing that is that something may have happened, but there was denial.
I think Jennings would have liked to have had something happen, but nothing happened.
You like her feet?
Does he ever not like a girl's feet?
I don't know.
I don't know if we ever run into that.
No, probably
I
not.
Wasn't gonna tongue kiss her foot.
Come on, Jay.
So is Jay bringing? Now, the show is what, Tuesday through Thursday, that he's on.
Right.
Okay. Is he gonna do Foot Fetish Thursday? Is he gonna bring that, or is that intellectual
FFT.
Property?
Inside STL right now is discussing it with his legal team as to whose intellectual property the foot fetish segments are, because our board is very passionate about us maintaining ownership. Very passionate.
As you should be.
Thank you. We feel like it put us on the map.
That's our signature bit.
It's part of your brand.
Thank you. Yeah, you got to say.
But don't you think
like
that follows him around?
I think he likes that.
Yeah. But I mean, he could do it both places. It's clear the public has a great appetite.
But that's a Joe Roderick-owned entity.
Oh. Well, I assume that he's working there because they wanted Jay. They wanted him, and that's part of who he is. Even though the fetish we speak of is so darn mild, right. It's hardly even worth bringing up.
Thank you. You're exactly right, sir. Guys, would you like to start up doing Tribbing Tuesdays? Thanks. That's from Zambo. Yes? Yes? Boy, that would be great.
I don't...
It seems like we don't have as many ladies in the studio as we used to.
Well, that's a great observation, sir, and let me give you the reason for that. There is a reason for that.
Okay, I get it.
Station ownership. You know, there's a religious station right across the hall. It's a little more conservative operation for political purposes. I've decided that it's in our best interest not to have Stag Stars or Girl Next Door or Foot Fetish Fridays. And, you know, you never know what will wind up happening as far as where we may roam someday down the road, and perhaps we'll be able to welcome filth back in. But at this moment, it's a conscious decision to play nice with ownership. That's the reasoning. And it's served us well for 3 years, Doug.
Tim, I think that's a good read.
It is a good read, Cheney, lesbian.
And you agreed with it.
Let's be honest, Doug's pretty filthy.
I'm not that filthy.
I think you are.
Well, why?
These are the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Kyle Brodziak going to join us. Blues and Blackhawks tonight. Chi-Town, stand up. He's going to be with us at 8:50, our Maggie O'Brien's Hockey Report. Gateway Buick GMC Studios, the all-new luxury 2016 Buick Cascada convertible has arrived on the showroom floor of Gateway Buick GMC. These are top-notch, much-anticipated convertibles starting at only $35,000. Take advantage of the Gateway Buick GMC Spring Sales event and lease one for under $370 per month. Yes, you heard me right. And yes, that gorgeous new convertible you see buzzing around on the roads is a Buick. It's at I-270 McDonald Boulevard or online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. Looking for a new whip? Go to Gateway Buick GMC. We've been joined by Matt Vasgersian. We've been joined by Jay Williamson. We've been joined by Janie the Lesbian. We're about to be joined by Kyle Brodziak of your St. Louis Blues. Updating things at the Masters. I can't pronounce any of the three people who are under par. So I don't know what to tell you. Victor Dubuisson.
Oh, yeah. He's got a great short game.
Tong Chai JD. I'm not making this up. And Bernd Weisberger are all at one under par. Jordan Spieth is about
Bernd?
That's right.
Then maybe it's Weisberger if he's a German.
He goes by Bergsy, though.
But it's not a German flag next to his name. I don't know what flag that is.
Austria? Wait, Albania.
Nurse?
I don't know.
Jim Herman. Cheap tent.
And what, seven people have teed off?
Well, it's all about the 14. Pressure. Pro golf is all about the pressure.
Spieth is about to tee off.
Hey, no pressure, no diamonds.
They can all stand at the practice range and hit them long and straight. They all do that. But then when they get on the course, not so long, not so straight all the time.
Man, I just sell in on Masters weekend. I just sell in.
I'll tell you what. I'm high on this guy, Derek Bard.
Wow.
Because he's the first name that I can pronounce
at the
top of the leaderboard.
Yeah.
And he's an American. Right now, Doug, he's at even through four.
So he's just kind of going out there. He's feeling his way around the course, yeah. And now he's ready to strike.
This is a kid who played quite a bit, grown up, played a lot, did some traveling, played at various different courses, came up and got his tour card, and now here he is in the pro ranks. So his story is rather unique.
It is.
Unlike so many of the other golfers, this is a guy who played all the time growing up.
But specifically,
and now he's ready to go.
Specifically, what do you like about his story? Like an anecdote you could share about Bardsey.
Well, there was that time he won the tournament. He won the whole shooting match, and he was very happy, and his parents were happy about it. And they said, you know what, maybe there's a chance. Maybe you're going to be one of the guys who makes it. And so he took that, and he became a pro. He got his card, and now here he is.
And how here he is? Tied for fourth at the Masters.
Yeah.
At even par.
And that's ironic because there was another tournament that he played where he tied for fourth. So this makes two of them.
How would you like to be?
That is an excellent point.
That is. How would you like to be a Robert Streb? You start out, you're happy just to be there. Through four holes, you're already five over.
Wow.
You're not happy.
That's bad news because I got him on one of my teams. God bless America. Hold on, Doug. I got to pull up my spreadsheet to see how many teams I have Streb on. Only one. That's good. That's good.
Streb is a guy who didn't play a lot of other sports. He was focused on golf and his golf game. He knew that this was what he wanted to do. Nice. And so he practiced and he played a lot, won a tournament as a junior, nice. And now here he is as a pro.
Give me a read, though. If you're five over through four, is it the – because you know Streb's game.
Yeah.
Is it between the ears? I know he's had that swing coach lately. Do you think it's more? Is it more mechanical?
Not so much between the ears. It's between the trees. You got to stay out of trouble, Chuck. Right. You can't be in absolute jail and expect to score well. You can't, and you can't use the foot wedge a lot in the Masters. There's people everywhere. Invariably, someone will see you. If you move an impediment that's not loose, if you try to cheat in some way, if you bring a chainsaw and cut down some of the Georgia pines to make your shot a little straighter, someone inevitably will see you. Doesn't happen a lot of times when I play. A lot of times I can get away with, you know, moving my ball 15 feet and say, oh, look, here it is. Got a lucky break on that one. Must have hit a rock or something.
You know what I don't like about golf is the whole signing of the card. I get it. It's a tradition. It's from 100 and whatever, 200 years ago.
Played a role in Belleville's Bob Golby winning the 1968 Green Jacket, a guest of Frank Cusimano's yesterday. Think about it.
Yeah, I heard some of that.
Vincent DiVincenzo signed the wrong scorecard.
Roberto DiVincenzo.
Yeah, well, his son's Vince. And it led to Bob Golby.
I don't like that. To me, if you win the tournament, like at the World Series, once a team wins, there's a walk-off. You don't have to go sign something.
What if Tony La Russa would have signed the wrong scorecard after the 2011 World Series?
Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered.
That's what I'm saying. We have millions of cameras. We have millions of viewers. You don't have to do the scorecard thing. I understand it's tradition. No one should ever lose a tournament based on that.
Maybe they didn't have them back then.
Now, while you guys can continue your discussion off air about signing scorecards in golf, okay. I'm going to switch to Blues and Blackhawks because that goes on tonight.
Same thing, though. If you win a hockey game,
and Hitch
you
signs
win
the wrong
the game,
scorecard,
you don't sign a scorecard afterwards.
If it's a scoreboard malfunction, it just doesn't matter.
Everybody on TV sees it. There's referees.
Right.
Joining us right now, Kyle Brodzik. Morning, Kyle.
Morning.
How are you, sir?
Good, good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Fine. I'm fired up about this, man. This is basically playoff hockey already. Blues and Blackhawks. You guys are trying to ensure that at the very least you have the 2 seed, but you're playing for the Central Division and the number 1 seed overall in the West. There is a lot to play for, and you're playing against, to finish off the season, two of the best teams in the NHL with the Blackhawks and the President Trophy winning Washington Capitals. What is your guys' feel here as you head into the final two of the regular season?
Well, the guys are excited. You know, we know these are two big games, and obviously towards the end of the year, every team wants to dial in their game as much as they can in preparation for the playoffs. So I think, you know, as a group, everyone's just really excited.
You think strategically you hold anything back? I mean, I you wouldn't want to show all your cards to a team you might be involved in with the playoffs in a week, would you?
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, potentially there's a good chance we could end up playing Chicago. So I think we want to show them everything we have. And I think it's kind of a mental thing. You want to always have that edge on another team. And you don't want to give them too much confidence playing against us if we potentially have to play them next week.
Kyle, have you been on a team where you've experienced the amount of injuries to major players like you guys have this year with the Blues? It seems like almost every game or every week, you know, every month, a major contributor goes down. And then just this past week, we have the news yesterday with Steve Ott, who's been out a while, but Backes and Allen. It just seems like this year it has not stopped.
Yeah, I definitely have never played on a team that's gone through this many injuries, like you said, to quality players like we have. But I think it speaks to the depth of the team. We have a lot of quality players that have been able to step up at different times of the year. And I think, as a group, the guys have done a pretty good job of just staying focused and not letting, negative energy creep into the room or have too many negative thoughts. And guys have just gone out and just kept playing. And I've done a good job of managing to get through some of the tough times. And we'll have to keep doing that.
When you see this many injuries, is it a fluky thing, or you think the game has just gotten so physical and the guy's so big and fast that it's inevitable?
Yeah, I definitely think there's some bad luck involved. Obviously there's going to be injuries throughout times of the year with every team, but I think just the amount that we've had, you definitely have to look at them as a lot of them being just some unfortunate luck at tough times. So it is what it is, though, and I think it's kind of the attitude we've had all year. It's just we have to deal with it, so let's just do it, and we'll move on. And if we get through it, we'll be better off in the end because of it.
Kyle, what was it like, especially coming to this team this year after playing in Minnesota and meeting in the playoffs last year and beating the Blues? And I remember hearing an interview just I think this past week, when you scored the couple goals, that Alexander Steen said he didn't necessarily like you too much when you guys were opponents.
Yeah, he actually told me that story. I think it was the day after I signed. He gave me a call and he had told me that. But, I figured it was going to be different because I spent so many years playing against this team. And, it was actually pretty exciting because I personally felt that this team, I know the talent that this team has and the depth, and I felt that this team was very close to being a legitimate contender for the Stanley Cup. So when Army called me and offered me a contract, I was very excited.
And when you play a playoff series against the team, you know, the fans get into it and there's, you know, big hits and there's controversy and all that. Was there anybody in the Blues locker room that you feel like you had to kind of like mend fences with when you got into the dressing room? Or is it kind of in hockey that's expected because guys change teams so much?
Yeah, I think for the most part, it's kind of, you expect, guys, I think guys know that personalities are a little different on the ice than they are off the ice. And the only guy that I ever fought on the Blues was Otter, so I knew that we were going to have a talk about that. But I knew, though. I think that usually the guys you end up fighting with are the guys you end up getting along with the most, and so I figured it was going to be a pretty easy transition.
I was going to say, so take us through that conversation. It seems like Ott would have some fun with that conversation.
Oh, definitely did. We talked about it right away, and we had a pretty good laugh about it, and threw a couple jabs at each other, and that was about it. And we just moved on and got along great since then.
He's probably been in a fight with most players in the league, though, don't you think? or at least traded insults with him.
Oh, for sure. I don't think that was the first time he's had to deal with going to a team or playing with somebody that he's had a run in the past.
It'd be nice to get him back here for the playoffs because I know he takes a lot of heat off other players.
Yeah, it would be nice for sure. Just the energy he brings to the locker room. He is a leader in the dressing room for sure. And I think guys just feel a little more comfortable when you know he's on the bench or on the ice with you. And it's been unfortunate for sure. And hopefully he can get some health here and join us as soon as he can.
It did seem like last year in that playoff series, he really did his job, because talking to people in Minnesota and media and fans and all that, they seemed to really be concerned about Steve Ott and talking about him and mad about what he was doing in that game. And I'm guessing that's what he's supposed to do and take the pressure off everybody else.
Yeah, for sure. He that's exactly what he does. He tries to get under the skin of the other team and kind of bring a focus towards him and try to get guys get their focus in the wrong places. And it was funny. We had we laughed about it too. He had the whole Minnesota the whole crowd was cheering Ott sucks, and it was pretty funny. It was pretty comical, and I know that he and I had a good laugh about that.
You scored two goals in the last game, and had another one a game or two before that, and people are wondering, hey, boy, it's nice to get some offense there. But you've had some nice offensive years in your career. Scored 22 not too long ago, so there you've got a lot of offensive skill that maybe some people in St. Louis haven't seen.
I've kind of, you know, even over the past few years, I felt that there was another side of my game that I could bring out a little bit more. You know, the past few years, whatever reason may be, I know the roles changed a little bit for me. But, I think it's just a matter of getting some confidence back. And, I'm starting to hopefully feel a little more of that lately. And hopefully we can keep it going.
Absolutely. Let's see a deep run this year. Blues and Blackhawks tonight, potentially Blues and Blackhawks again next week, or Blues and Wild. It's pretty much one or the other. Blues and Blackhawks tonight at the United Center. Kyle Bradziak with us here on the Appliances Kind of Phone Lines. Kyle, we appreciate it, and best of luck, man.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for having me on the show.
We appreciate it. We enjoyed it. Kyle Bradziak with us here on the program. Played with Wild last year, and here he is with the Blues going up against the Blackhawks. Might see the Minnesota Wild and, in turn, our other guest this segment, Janie the Lesbian, next week. So there's a lot going on, and it all kind of ties together. That's fun. That's what it is. It's fun.
Playoff hockey and lesbianism in the air are your two favorite things.
God, two of my...
Yeah,
beautiful time of the year. I didn't want to say the word to him, but Alexander Steen in his post-game interview with Darren Pang after the game where Bradziak had the two goals, they were joking about it, and Steiner said that he thought he was a prick before he got here to St. Louis, and now they're good buddies.
Huh. Nice.
Can you say that word? But that was the word he used.
Too late now.
Bob Boy's messing around with the dump button right now.
Yeah.
I think you can. I think it's kind of getting more... Basically, it's just the F word now.
But he said it with love. Like, now they're buddies.
Not necessarily a bad thing to say about another hockey player. I mean, you don't really expect to like the guys on the other team.
Right. I'd assemble a bunch of Lady Bing winners.
You do? Brett Hull won the Lady Bing trophy one year.
He did indeed. We got the top of the hour approach. And sending your emails the morning after at InsideSTL.com. $20 gift card to Llewellyn's. You win that, you can take it over for our home opener broadcast on Monday. Llewellyn's and Soulard is where we will be. And don't forget, Bud Light is the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. A light-bodied lager with a fresh, clean, and subtle hop aroma. Delicate malt sweetness and crisp finish for the ultimate refreshment. Bud Light, all about bringing people together. The official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We'll take a break, come back with more nitwittery here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and its size.